Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Today in the studio for a second mentoring conversation, I have in front of me Mickey Mikeworth of Mikeworth Consulting. She's a two-time winner of the Top Woman in Finance. Last year, she won the Minnesota Women's Mentoring Award and the Esteemed Partnership Award from Head Start for the groundbreaking work she's done in teaching homeless families the ropes on climbing out of poverty. She has spent 10 years working on rearranging resources so that people who have extra can give to people who need. Mickey is an international micro lender and was one of the first people to start lending in a program called Kiva, a prosperity-based model of how to build entrepreneurship and fight long-term poverty. She has helped individuals from over 150 countries through her lending and was highlighted in Town & Country magazine for her work as an international philanthropist. She is currently working on the project with other Fortune 500 CEOs and the major nonprofits of Minnesota on planning the next 10 years of growth for the city of Minneapolis. She has helped grow multiple nonprofits specifically to do grassroots level work to build prosperity in the city. And by the way, her real job is a chief financial officer for hire. She's currently working with 50 individual brands and 414 individuals and mentees. This is her 18th year in business. And from our first conversation, she has had an eclectic background, a wonderful childhood where she's connected with so many different people and grandparents giving you nicknames that you actually, you know, keep for life.
For life.
Yeah,
you own them.
Yeah, you totally own them. So a delight to have you back.
Thank you so
much. Thanks for being here.
I always love being here with you. It's a good time.
Yes. All right. Well, to continue on with our conversation, you have three grown adult children.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like you have a wonderful way where you've accepted them and love them very much with your husband. What's his name?
My husband's name is Mark.
Mark.
Yes. Well, we had to give him a little nickname when we met him. So it depends on who you talk to. But okay. Yes. So anyone in my family just calls him cute guy.
Oh.
Yeah, because he was so cute.
Is he still cute?
He is still cute, but
still
like
cute. Different cute.
Know. Oh yeah. I met him in a parking lot.
Oh.
Yeah. I won him fair and square in a parking lot. Like it we have very different stories of that. But the minute that I saw him, I knew my life was going to change forever.
Wow.
The minute. I went up to my assistant that I had that moment, and anybody who has had love at first sight.
So you were like walking through the parking lot or
yeah,
what?
This is great. I'll be very quick because I know we have a limited amount of time. It is a funny, funny story.
Great. Let's hear it.
Okay. So I'm walking through the parking lot. I'm coming from a test.
A test. Education building.
Right.
Yeah.
I was coming from a statistics test that I knew I had aced, which if anyone has taken statistics, you should just, you know, cry with joy right there.
Yeah, right.
And I had a mini skirt on. And I was just having that day, you know, that day where you're like, yeah.
Things are working.
I'm at my big girl job. I had an assistant, and I had a mini skirt, and it's a beautiful day, and
you were working it.
And I just passed a test.
Yeah.
And in one hand, I had two set of pipe wrenches that I was going to teach my assistant how to fix her own sink.
Okay.
And in the other hand, I had this girl that was living with me who was going to medical school. And I told her if she would just go to medical school, she could live with me for free because she didn't have any money. So her answer to staying thin was to make cookies and then make me take them to work. So one hand I have cookies, and the other hand I have these two pipe wrenches. And I'm walking through the parking lot, and my husband is that that person that like parks way on the far so that the birds don't.
That's like my husband.
Yeah. Okay. He's going to park far. Right. And I have mocked people for this like my whole existence. Like, really? Come on. Just park your car.
Yeah.
No. So he had to run from the other side of the parking lot to like meet me and not look psychotic, right? Because he's running.
So he saw you.
He saw me and he went, oh, I'm going to practice talking to girls today. That was his. I'm going to practice talking to girls today. Because he was married previously.
Okay.
So I was his practice deal.
Okay.
And then.
And how old were you then at this age?
I was 33 maybe. He was just praying I wasn't 25.
Okay.
And he's considerably older than I am. So anyway, so we were walking up the stairs and he goes like, I don't understand. And I don't understand the stuff in your hands. And I said, these are pipe wrenches. You better watch out. I know how to use them. And I just looked in his eyes and I went, oh, it's you.
Wow.
And I walked up to my office and I said, I don't know what just happened there. But either this is a psychotic person and I'm in trouble, or I'm going to marry that person. And you, my assistant, will be the first person at that wedding.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was true.
So how much time passed after that?
Well, we had a family to raise. We were two single parents who were also entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So like you can't, you know, what a disaster, you know, what a disaster that is to try to parent and date and manage a business and, you know, all of those things.
One child, two child, how many children?
Yeah, so he had two girls and I had one boy.
Okay.
And then I had frequently people that stayed with me. So like my nieces would stay with me. And so the first summer that we met, my nieces were staying with me. So we had four teenage girls between the two of us, the ages of 13 and 15.
Okay.
Right. There's not enough nail polish known to mankind to manage that summer. And my son grew up around a lot of girls. So he was fine. So he can talk to girls any day.
Yeah.
Never a problem.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So that's that story.
Yeah. We mentor. So when did you start working your way into finance? So you knew then when you took a statistics class that you're...
No, I was tricked. I was tricked.
I hate when that happens.
I hate it.
Yeah.
You know, my thesis is on women. My degree is in public health and sexual health.
Okay.
So my thesis is on women with AIDS in Brazil. I was studying during the Clinton administration, I was studying the AIDS epidemic and chronicling those stories of those people.
What school were you at?
I was at the U of M.
Okay.
I was one of the people that worked on the AIDS quilt that you see that's now in the National Archives. And so I was at that time finishing my thesis.
And really involved in some life-changing projects.
AIDS is a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it still is. It's very close to my heart. And I have 8 squares on that quilt of people that I met in Brazil that I did their stories. And from the time I was there to the time that I finished my thesis, all 8 were dead.
Oh.
So that for me was very meaningful, was to be able to have something marked.
Yeah.
I mean,
a remembrance.
When you write that thesis, it's one thing, but it's another thing to realize that that is the tribute to them.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't have gotten any other way.
Yeah.
So, yes, I went into another way. My mom told me to get this job working in finance. I was on my way to Johns Hopkins. So I was finishing my thesis, kind of getting all my stuff together, thinking about, am I going to go to med school? What am I going to do? And my mom's like, you know, if you just take this part-time job in this financial planning firm, you'll have health insurance. And I went, all right, I'll do that. I'll do that. And I got there and went, oh, this is really different. Yeah. This is really, like, how does this work?
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, I mean, we didn't talk about money.
Okay.
That was not a conversation that you would have. We did not have conversations about stock or portfolios or anything like that. So it was a huge learning curve. And that boss there, he and I became business partner for 17 years.
Oh my gosh.
Until he died. He died suddenly. That was a really tragic time. But
yeah, I'm sure.
That he and I worked together for a lot of years, and I drove him crazy. I drove him nuts.
Oh.
But he really was in a good way. Yeah. He was a really great mentor to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a lot of things to teach me.
So how did you recover then after he passed away?
You know, interestingly enough, I tried to look for ways to heal.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of money together. I mean, we had like real things that we had to solve.
Yeah. So you were managing portfolios?
Right.
What, okay.
Right.
People's portfolios.
So, yeah. So we had, a lot of things to unwind.
Yeah.
And we had a firm to tear apart, and, you know, we just had a lot to do. And I had to kind of sort out what that was. So my husband went, let's take a trip. And so I decided to go take a songwriting class at the new Museum of Music that was in Phoenix. It was just opening. And their first, the CEO from Target here was really, really a big deal in that. I mean, that we had a lot of people from Minnesota work on that exhibit. Mm. And the first exhibit was the Women of Rock and Roll.
Oh, perfect.
So there I am, right? The first week they're opening, and they have these great songwriters that are willing to teach us how to write a song. Mm. And so that's how I kind of processed it. I mean, I had some other things to process with just life, but
yeah.
For me, you know, how do you pay homage to someone that you really cared about that's
yeah.
gone?
Yeah.
And not stay in grieving.
Yeah.
So that was the other thing that songwriting really helped me do. That was the first time I really went to songwriting.
So to kind of get it out.
Yeah.
And have a place to put it.
And have a story about it, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I just had to figure it out. And so, you know, it was a short song, and kind of worked it through for about 5 days. It took me about 5 days to get it through.
Okay.
And wrote it out, and I was just...
Sing it out then, or...?
Well, I am my singing is painful.
Okay.
Not to me, but to everyone else. Not to me. I sound great to myself. But no one actually wants to hear me sing. So a baby will put up with it because they can't run, I suppose. My grandson will listen to me sing all the time and just look at me like, wow, what is this? Oh. Or I'll sing in a different language. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I had to process that. And songwriting was just a tool that really helped me through that process. Mm-hmm. And so now when I think of him, I can just think of that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got a place. Okay.
Yeah.
In
my heart that is truly meaningful, that is really my feelings for that person. And
yeah. Oh, I've never heard that. That is really
that was my answer.
Wonderful.
That was my answer.
What a wonderful way to heal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had another really traumatic thing.
You know, the quilt set into place something about grief for you.
Oh, I have to process grief quickly, yeah.
But, you know, like having a
memory.
A memory, a physical memory.
Yeah.
Or with a song, it's a thing.
Yeah. Oh, I've done it like with poetry or something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I express myself in writing, but I...
Do you?
I like to write.
And do you write like journal or do you...
I've always kept a journal.
Yeah. Now, do you keep your journals?
I go through little rituals of like... I wrote really a lot during high school and college.
Yeah.
And then I read back, like in my, you know, late 20s, what I had written. And I'm like, I do not want anyone to ever discover what I did, what I was thinking, during college and high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went through this little ritual and burnt everything up.
Oh. Now,
so I do that every now and then.
My grandmother, I had a sister that ran away from home, and I was 12. She was an older sister. And my grandmother... not knowing what to do about it, handed me a journal and said, you need to just put all your feelings in there. So I was 12.
Okay.
And I have all my journals from that time.
You kept them all.
Oh, I kept them all. They're horrible. Like you. Like you. You go, wow, geez, I've been journaling for, 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me go in and read those. And you go, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I went for another time period and I went, I should maybe capture some current events.
Yeah.
Maybe some current events. Or
add that into the journal.
Perhaps there's something other in the world than me. Not much. So then another decade went by and I'm like, well, let me go back and see how I've done.
Yeah.
And then I realized that the only other things that I was capturing in the world were like, one of them was like that, people who have died. I mean, like, so I was putting in all these obituaries strange things. And I thought, oh boy, you are terrible at this. You are terrible at journaling. So then another decade goes by.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you start to kind of go, well, what do I want in there? And I have had that conversation. I had to, with people of, you don't, there's so much of you that you're willing to share.
Yeah.
In a journal.
Yeah.
Or sort.
Because it's unrestricted.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff in there that's unfiltered and.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no censoring.
I made a deal because I wanted them to be able to kind of check in on things, to check in on a time in my life or to, it helps you understand timeline.
Yeah.
Or how you're growing.
Right, like how your perceptions are shifting or...
Yeah, or my thoughts on shoes. I mean, my thoughts on shoes. The day I woke up and realized that I'm wearing my mother's shoes, like the shoes that I made, that I mocked and thought, oh, lady, you are beautiful. Why are you wearing horrible shoes? And now I buy those horrible shoes, right? So like you can kind of have those moments.
Yeah.
But, comfortable shoes. Like I remember a time where I thought, oh, comfort, what's that? And then I had to really buy some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you found out.
And then I found out. But yeah, I had to make a deal with my neighbor, Mary, that if anything happens to me, that she has this spot in my house that she has to go to and grab all my journals and burn them on my behalf.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I still want them while I'm alive.
Okay. There's something comforting about it?
It really is that piece to kind of go back.
Yeah.
I had we had talked about sometimes people give you something to make you grow.
Yeah.
Right? Risk. And one of them that they gave me was you had to pick only 10 photographs from your life. Hmm. And so you had to go back through all your photographs or all this time and just pick 10 photographs and talk about why they're the most important days of your life.
Oh, nice.
And
yeah, that's great. Exercise.
It is mind-boggling when you start looking through your photographs.
Yeah.
And you go, why was that perhaps such a big deal? And the photograph, one of the photographs I pulled out was the year for Christmas I got my first record album. That to me, mm-hmm. and my parents they were willing to give me Pink Floyd, The Wall. And that's a daring musical choice for somebody. And I think I was 11.
My husband just became a yoga teacher last year.
Oh.
And so he teaches on Friday. And so he, in honor of Pink Floyd, just, taught one of his classes with just Pink Floyd music.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So things like that. It was easy to go back to the journals and kind of go, where was my head at?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Oh, I'm glad you're writing. That's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, in the podcast, writing up narratives now every week.
Oh, right.
That's like a different, I'm like, how can I create meaning from each podcast conversation?
Right.
In a way that kind of captures the essence of what we were talking about.
Right.
That's my little challenge for the week.
That's a big challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big challenge.
Yeah.
Because we're going everywhere. I mean, you and I are flying right around the world
who
in
knows
just this conversation.
What'll come up.
Right.
Yeah. How I'm going to, this is not going to have like a little bow around it.
This conversation or just in general?
This conversation. We have to make this a bigger Well, big or something.
You know what? I can give you the bow. Would you like it?
No, I don't want a bow for it.
Oh, good.
I think it would be confining.
You don't
want to have this confining.
Enjoy this world. That's my bow.
Yeah, there we go.
Enjoy this world.
Okay.
You know you're here.
Yeah.
Right. And you got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Enjoy it.
Okay. Excellent.
There's my bow for you.
All right. There it is. Enjoy the world.
Enjoy it.
What else would you like to say before we close out this mentoring session? I mean, you've had a lovely upbringing. It sounds like you've had so many meaningful things that you've got involved in because of your effervescence and joy of living, and also your journey to kind of keep taking risks and putting yourself out there in new and different ways where you can explore the world and connect with people.
Yeah.
What do you think your life
myself,
purpose is?
Or connect with world, right?
Connect with world?
Yeah, I mean, to connect. What is my life purpose? My life purpose is to, you know, my work here is to make sure my light is on.
Okay.
And that light can be a couple of things, right? For some people, the fact that my light is on means that they can see. That sometimes it's that I'm one light in a light of party, right? That there's a bunch of lights around me and I'm just one in a party.
I see.
But for some people, it is that I am a beacon in time of darkness. That when things are really bad or awful, you always want me there.
That your light is always on.
Because my light is on and it's clear. And I'm willing to have it on.
I like the way you describe that because I'm seeing now, you know, a whole group of lights on.
Yeah.
And a community of people.
Right.
You're all connected.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes people just need a permission to turn theirs on.
Yeah.
You know, if I will tell you that the more people that hang out with me in general, they go, wow, you're so weird, but fabulous or normal or whatever. Like, you don't know what to do with me because I have this much energy from morning till night.
Okay.
And
it's wonderful.
And that is my natural pace.
Yeah.
It is for many people a permission slip that it's okay to just be you because that's beautiful. Even if it's vulnerable, even if it's uncomfortable, why do people pay money to be with me for my business ideas or my intuition? They do it because I'm willing to be me and that you being you doesn't hurt me being me.
Yeah.
So I don't have to be better than you or anything. I just have to be a guide. Mm-hmm. You know, how can I help you in your journey? That my job in this world is just to be a light.
Yeah.
And I don't have to take your light to make my light better.
I see. Yeah.
So.
Because you've been working on your light to keep it full and bright.
Well, just to keep it on, keep it centered.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that it's hard to put your light on every day.
Yeah.
For anybody who didn't feel like getting up today, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you can just focus on that. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful way to finish out this session.
Yeah. Well, you know, turn your light on.
I'm keeping mine on.
Right.
Keeping it bright.
We can do a little, who sang that song? You can leave the light on. Who sang that song?
I'm not sure. I'll sing a little more. I like your voice.
Right. No, it's terrible. Oh, gosh. No. No, it was really a famous song, right? You can leave the light on. Right. They had a hat. It was in a movie. Everyone who's out here now listening to this, they are screaming this in their car. Right now.
They're saying, they're come like, on, Nancy, yeah. Just say
I want to say it's Joe Cocker, but it's not. Is it Joe Cocker? Oh, I don't know.
I'm not
we'll
familiar
have to put that in the cliff
song.
Notes. There's your assignment.
Okay.
Right. I will send it. I will send that video.
Yes, make my job a little bit easier.
Yeah, I'll look it up while we're today.
Great. All right. Well, this has been a wonderful Monday. Thank you
for
being here.
Me.
Oh my gosh.
I love being
here. This is just fantastic.
Right.
And thanks, Mike Kabea. He's also a beacon of light.
I would agree. I think that's right on.
Yeah.
He's giving us a high five.
Sound engineer, photographer, and brother from another mother.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.